Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. We'll discuss the meaning of this song. Here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the devotional vision of the world that a devotee has. How everything in this world becomes for a devotee the impetus to remember Krishna. So, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. Bhajananukula Bhakta Seva Parama Siddhi Premalati Karamula. So, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. So, if the pure devotee is lotus feet, Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula. It is what is Anukul, favorable for doing bhajans. For doing bhajan. Bhajans in plural refers to the songs with which you do bhajans, like this particular bhajan. But bhajan also refers to the activity of devotional service in general. So here it is used in that sense, generic sense of bhajana anukula. Bhakata seva parama siddhi. So how is the lotus it's dust of a pure devotee favorable for bhajan? Actually, bhajan is not just an activity. It is a mentality. Chanting, hearing about Krishna, worshipping Krishna. If we look at the activities themselves, they're not very difficult to do. Now, it is relatively easy for anyone to actually chant Hare Krishna, to hear Krishna Katha. The challenge is that these are not very easy activities to sustain if one does not have taste for them. Somebody can do it once, twice, thrice, but after some time, the person will get exhausted, will start feeling bored, and will give up the activity. If we are to sustain this activity, we need taste. And the taste comes by the grace of devotees. Only when devotees shower their mercy, then from their heart, the desire for bhakti comes into our heart. And we are able to absorb ourselves in the process of bhakti. So, that desire comes when we get the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. So, getting the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees can be an action as well as a disposition. Now, when we have the opportunity to touch the lotus feet of the devotees, to take the dust from their feet on our head, that is excellent. We can do that. But more importantly, now when we touch the lotus feet of the devotees that time, we are humbling ourselves before them. We are accepting them as greater than us. We are subordinating ourselves to them, recognizing their glory for their being so purely devoted to Krishna. And by that act of humbly submitting ourselves to them, our heart becomes open to receive their mercy, and their mercy comes in the form of the attraction for Krishna that they have becoming transmitted into our hearts. And in this way, the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotees is anukul for our bhajan. And then same point is talked about further. Bhakata seva parama siddhi premalati karamula. Bhakata seva, the service of devotees. So first he talks about, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about pure devotees, Shuddha Bhakata. There, we should take the dust of their feet. Now, if we start taking the dust of every devotee's feet, many devotees may find it very embarrassing. So, we serve other devotees. So, first line talks about Shuddha Bhakata. And then, second half of this stanza talks about, in general, Bhakata Seva. Service to devotees is Parama Siddhi. It is itself the supreme perfection. Now, we may say that actually Krishna Prem is the supreme perfection. That is the eternal aspiration of the soul. And that is, it is in Krishna Prem that our longing for happiness is eternally and perfectly fulfilled. So then why is it being said over here that Bhakta Seva is the Parama Siddhi? That service to devotees is supreme perfection? That's because service to devotees is Premalati Karamula. It is the mool, the root of the creeper of love. So just as where there is a root, from that root, the shoot will manifest in due course of time. So where there is service to devotees, there, that is the root. And from that root, the shoot of love for Krishna will soon manifest. And that's why Bhakta Seva, service to devotees, is so valuable. So in the first stanza, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about how we humble ourselves to the pure devotee. And that is very favorable. And service to devotees is the root of Krishna Prem. Madhavati thi bhakti janani yatane palanakari Krishna vasati vasati bali parama adare bari. Now, so basically, in this song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about various manifestations of Krishna as are accessible to us in this world. So the foremost manifestation he talks about is devotees. Because it is devotees who reveal to us the glory of the various manifestations of Krishna and the glory of Krishna himself through their words, through their actions, through their personality, through their character, all that. So now, after talking about devotees, then he talks about other manifestations of the divine in this world. So one is in terms of time and the other is in terms of some space, that these two he talks about in this world. So Madhavati thi bhakti janani. Madhavati thi is, tithi is a period of time. In Sanskrit chronometry and Sanskrit measurement of time, tithi is a specific unit of time. But here Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses it in a more generic sense, the days. So the days which are associated with Lord Madhava, Madhava tithi bhakti janani, it is the mother of devotion. And just as when there is a mother, the mother gives rise to the infant and the mother also helps in the growth of the infant. So similarly, there are the sacred days on which if we try to do the activities of devotion, then devotion manifests in our heart and devotion grows also rapidly. Just as if an infant is in the care of a mother and the mother's care, the infant grows very nicely. Similarly, bhakti grows very nicely at these times of Madhavatithi. And that's why a serious devotee is often, the Madhavatithi can refer to various things. It can refer to the occasions like Ekadashi, which come every fortnight. And it can refer to the appearance days of the Lord and his devotees. And especially the appearance days of the various incarnations of the Lord. And all these are very auspicious. Madhavatithi bhakti janani. Bhakti janani. These give birth to devotion. Yatane palanakari. Therefore, we should very carefully observe these festivals. Because to the extent we observe them carefully, to that extent, we will grow in our devotion will grow. And we will move towards existence's supreme treasure. And after talking about Krishna's special manifestation in time, in terms of Madhavatithi, then he talks about Krishna's manifestation in terms of space. Krishna vasati vasati bali parama adare bari. So Krishna vasati vasati. So Krishna resides at certain places. Those are called as the dhams. So Krishna vasati. So where Krishna resides, I will make that my residence. That is Vrindavan. Now devotee aspires to live in Vrindavan. And when one is not able to live in Vrindavan, then the devotee aspires to try to create the mood of Vrindavan wherever he is living. And in this way, he says, Paramadare Bari. This is important. It is not just physical residence in Vrindavan that is important. Yes, that is beneficial. Because the contact with the dham is glorious. But again, Paramadare Bari. That means, it is actually we need to stay in Vrindavan with a supremely reverential disposition. If we have a casual disposition, then often it's possible that we may end up committing offenses in Vrindavan, and that can backfire and injure our spiritual life. So, appreciation for the Dham is as important as the association of the Dham. And that's why for most of us, we may not be able to stay in Vrindavan, but if we have a healthy appreciation for the Dham, then we will actually, whenever we have the association of the Dham, whenever we get to go there for pilgrimages, we will actually be there with Parama Adare, with great respect, and there with such a respectful brief stay in the Dhams, we'll be able to get the benefit of the Dham without getting any counterproductive effect in terms of committing offenses. So now, after talking about the holy places, the holy place of Vrindavan where he desires to reside, now he talks about how the Lord resides in one place, but the Lord has descended in Kali Yuga as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he has gone to various places. So, the other places where Krishna manifests, where Lord Chaitanya manifests, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the next stanza that I desire to even see those places. Gaura Amara Yesab Sthane Karala Brahmana Range Sesab Sthana Heriba Ami Pranayi Bhakata Sange. So he says, Gaura Amara, Lord Gauranga is my Lord, Amara is my Gauranga. As the human heart needs love, and love means having a sense of affection, reciprocation, and even to some extent possession. To say that he is my Lord. No, that is not to claim ownership on the Lord, but it is to express the affection and the deep relationship that is there with the Lord. So, Gaura Amara Yesab Sthane, the various places, Karala Brahmana Range, wherever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to travel with great joy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic routine when he traveled was, he would dance and sing while traveling, and when we would come to a destination, his usual destination, his transitional destinations while traveling were some holy temples, some Tirthakshetras. So he would go, if whichever town he would go to the temple, prominent temple of Vishnu over there, and dance and sing over there. He would even go to temples of Shiva and there dance and sing for the pleasure of the exalted devotee Lord Shiva and praise Lord Shiva for his exalted devotion to the Supreme Lord. So, but the point is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an ecstatic routine of dancing and singing while traveling and dancing and singing and discussing Krishna Katha after arriving at a destination. So it was Pugharala Brahmana Range Range, with great joy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled around. Sesabha Sthana Heriba Ami. So all those places which Lord Chaitanya traveled, Sesabha Sthana Heriba Ami, I too desire to travel in those places. Pranayi Bhakata Sange, I want to travel with affectionate devotees. Pranayi Bhakata Sange, with affectionate devotees, I want to travel to these places. Why affectionate devotees? Because in the presence of affectionate devotees, we can relish not just our own taste of Krishna, not just the flavor, not just the taste of our bhakti's flavor, but we can also relish the taste of the bhakti of other devotees. And because Krishna is omnidimensional, Krishna is universally attractive, and his attractiveness manifests in different ways to different devotees. So, we relish the way in which Krishna manifests his attractiveness to us, and that is wonderful. But along with that, if we understand how Krishna is manifesting his attractiveness to another devotee, then that, when we understand it, it increases our appreciation for Krishna all the more. And in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that, when I am with devotees, then there will be Guhyamakhyati Pruchyati, there will be discussion of Krishna Katha, Machitta Madgata Prana, Bodhayanta Parasparam Kathayantashchamam Nityam Tushyanti Charamanti Chan. So the first verse was from Book Desha Amrit, and the second is from Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita 10.9, where Krishna talks about devotees delighting in exchanging thoughts about Krishna and enlightening each other in great joy. So that is the aspiration of Bhaktan Thakur. He says, I will travel to various places in the association of affectionate devotees. Pranayi bhakta sange. With affectionate devotees, I will go to all the holy places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed ecstatic pastimes. Then after this, mridanga vadya shunite mana avasar sadayache kauravihita kirtana shuni anander dayanache mridanga vadya shunite mana. So he says, when I hear the sound of mridanga, now he's talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed kirtans wherever he went, he danced and sang. So now he's talking about that kirtan when he hears. In the kirtan, and normally you would think that in the kirtan, it is the sound of the holy name that is most attractive. And that is definitely. But for a devotee, the spiritual stimuli, the devotional impressions come from all directions. They come not only from the holy name. Yes, they come from the holy name, but along with that, they come from other sources too. So they come from the mridanga. Mridanga vadya shunite mana. So, to hear that mridanga, the sound of the mridanga, shunite mana. To hear that, the mind, what does it do? Avasar sadayache. The mind constantly looks for an opportunity, longs for an opportunity. Gauravihita kirtana shuni. That, and so now, here, when I hear the kirtan, the way it was performed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anande hridaya nache, joyfully my heart dances. So now this is this in this section, in this stanza, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a glimpse into the inner life of a devotee. What does the devotee's mind aspire for? What does the devotee's heart cherish? So here he says it is actually kirtan rasa. So now, the mridanga, mridanga and the kirtan, both are part of the same potent spiritual vibrations which create transformational impressions in the heart. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying over here that my mind longs to hear the sound of the mridanga and my heart dances on hearing kirtan. The kirtan of the Lord in any form is wonderful. But Lord Chaitanya has imbued kirtan with a special rasa. And therefore, when kirtan is performed in this way, there is an ecstasy, especially for those devotees. There is an extra ecstasy. It's an unparalleled ecstasy, especially for those devotees who are the followers of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that, Anander daya nache, my heart dances. So actually, we all, you know, when kirtans happen, we all dance. We dance and sing in the kirtans. So it's good to physically dance and sing for the Lord's pleasure. But when there is love for Krishna in the heart, then it is not just the body that is dancing; it is the heart that is dancing. And the heart's dancing expresses itself externally as the body is dancing. And in this way, the complete being becomes subsumed in the dance of devotion. And that is the ecstasy of the special form of Sankirtan, that is Nagar Sankirtan, that Lord Chaitanya has brought to the world, has spread around the world. Now, continuing his list of various devotional stimuli, here Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Yugala Murti Dekhiya Mora Paramanandahaya Prasad Seva Karite Haya Sakala Prapancha Jaya. So now, when in the previous verse he said that I want to go to the holy places, and then in the holy place, what do the devotees do? They do kirtans, and along with doing kirtans, a very potent form of potent source of spiritual vibrations is the supreme lord's deities. So Yugala Murti Dekhiya Mora. And when I see when I behold the beautiful forms of Yugala, of Radha Krishna, then what happens? Paramanandahaya. I feel supreme ecstasy. Supreme ecstasy. Paramananda. So, actually, just as the conditioned soul delights in stories where we identify ourselves as hero and heroines and we think that we will live happily ever after. And we delight in that kind of stories. But a devotee understands that the innermost aspiration of the human heart is not just in this horizontal love for other living beings. It is in the vertical love for the Lord and His intimate consort. Just as Hanuman's delight was not just in serving Ram. Yes, he wanted to serve Ram, but he also wanted to serve Ram according to Lord Ram's desire in a way that would please Lord Ram. And thus he strove to unite Sita with Ram. Similarly, the devotee's desire is to please the Lord, and nothing pleases the Lord more than the association of His divine consort. That's why when the devotee sees that Radha and Krishna are together, then in the mood of Hanuman, who has strived tirelessly to bring the divine couple together, the devotee feels great joy in seeing the reciprocation of love, of the paramount love between the divine couple. And that's why when he sees those two transcendental personalities together, Yugala Murti Dekhiya Mora Paramanandaya, that when one sees this Yugala Murti, at that time there is Paramananda. There is supreme happiness that one get. Prasat Seva Karite Haya. So now, with the deities, they give their darshan, and the darshan itself is their prasad at one level. But along with that, they also give their prasad in another form, and that other form is they accept bhoga and they bless us with prasad. So Prasat Seva Karite Haya. So when I take the prasad, then what happens? Sakala prapancha jaya. He says all prapancha. Prapancha refers to material existence and especially to the attachment to material existence. So by honoring Krishna's prasad, by honoring that which has been honored by Krishna, actually we feel ecstatically illumined. We feel purified. We feel attracted towards Krishna. Because what has been tasted by Krishna, what is the remnants of Krishna, that gives us special ecstasy. And in this way, Sakala Prapancha Jaya, we'll be able to conquer over all of material existence, all forms of attachment in material existence. When we take the remnants of Krishna, we will be able to conquer over that. And Uddhava also says in Uddhava Gita that by accepting your remnants, the devotee becomes free from various material attachments. And then further, he says, ye din tulasi dekhi, so ye din grihe bhajana dekhi, grihe te golok bhaye, charan sindhu dekhiya ganga, sukh saasi ma paaye. So, now he says over there, when I come to my home, yadin grihe bhajana dekhi, when I come home and I see my family members engaged in bhajan, then I understand this world, this family in this is grihate goloka bhaya. This is like goloka. This is just like goloka. There's no different from this end. It's not different from goloka. Because ultimately what is goloka? Goloka is definitely a place where the all-attractive Lord reciprocates love eternally with his devotees. But along with that, Golok is also a state of consciousness. Now, when we have that state of consciousness, sooner or later, we will attain the Goloka in the spiritual world also. And essentially, he says, Grihite Golok Bhaya Charan Sindhu Dekhiya Ganga Charan Sindhu Dekhiya Ganga. So, Charan Sindhu is what? Charan Sindhu means that here it refers to Ganga Devi. Dekhiya Ganga. So, this harkens back to the pastime of Vaman Dev when he expanded his form to encompass the whole universe. At that time, Vaman Dev actually brought down the world. He caused by the touch of his feet a hole in the universe, in the shell of the universe. And through that hole, he brought the water from the causal ocean down into the world. And that water from the causal ocean along with the water from Brahma's Kamandalu, when Brahma washed the lotus feet of the Lord, that combined together, that became Charana Sindhu. Because now we talk about Charanamrit normally. And Charanamrit, even if it is available in profuse quantity, still it is not so much. But Ganga Devi, he says, is Charana Sindhu. It is such a profuse quantity that it is like an ocean. So that water which is washed the lotus feet of the Lord and is available in an oceanic quantity, that is Ganga Devi. So Charana Sindhu Dekhiya Ganga. When I see this Charana Sindhu of Ganga, Sukhsa Seema Paaye, Sukhsa Seema Paaye. This is my happiness knows no bounds. This is Ganga. Ganga's it is a river, but the extent of the water in the river is so great that it is almost like an ocean. It's so vast. And similarly, just as the river's extent is almost limitless, similarly the ecstasy that awakens in my heart on seeing and beholding this beautiful Ganga, that ecstasy is also limitless. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived for most of his life, at least the later part of his life, for a substantial amount of time. He lived in Godrum Dweep, Shwanan Sukhat Kunj, and he had his house there, which his house is still there. It's preserved to this day. And that house was very close to the Ganga. So he's talking in that sense about what applies to his life and what can apply to the lives of all of us also. Vijayadin Grihe Bhajana Dekhi. So he's saying that now he's not talking here about his role as a magistrate. He has to deal with criminals, he has to deal with lawyers, he has to deal with envious colleagues. In those days, the Britishers thought that Britishers were the rulers, and by merit, some Indians would come and join the services, the government services, and they would rise to high posts. Some of them would rise to the posts of deputy magistrate as with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But then there was always jealousy. The Europeans thought that we are more competent, we are better, we are the civilized race. And later on, after Bhaktivinoda Thakur retired and devoted himself to God, one of his colleagues came and told him that, I was so envious of you and I was planning to malign you and spread rumors about you and destroy and assassinate your character and destroy your career. But then you were transferred or whatever. I found it was not necessary. But now that I have come to, after he had retired and devoted himself utterly to God, he says, now you are such a saint, I realize that you are a saintly person and that you are not at all interested in worldly goods. So I needn't have even planned to do anything like this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes at that time in his autobiography that I was surprised to hear that this person had bore such animosity towards me, or had borne such animosity towards me, and yet he was so gracious that he forgave it all. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's consciousness is seen over here that yes, he had heavy responsibilities, and he did responsibilities competently, and he did have the struggles of a difficult, demanding profession in a difficult environment. The profession of a magistrate itself is difficult because you have to try criminals and people's life and death is in your hands, and sometimes if some people feel that they have been wrongly sentenced, then they can become vindictive and they can send their goons to get back at you. So it's a difficult job and it's a demanding environment because the Britishers wanted to give some power to qualified Indians, so that the Indians were rising increasingly in rebellion against the British government, they would be suppressed to some extent. They would stay silent to some extent, but at the same time, they didn't want to be upstaged by the Indians. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to be very careful in his job. But he doesn't talk about all that. Those are jobs, which has to be done, but a devotee's consciousness does not get consumed with that. He does it and gets it over with, and he lets his consciousness get consumed with Krishna. So he says, when I come from my job to my home, then jetin grihe bhajan dekhi. When I see bhajan happening in my home, then I feel, oh, this is Goloka. I have come back to Goloka. So for a devotee, even the house, which is so often talked in the scriptures as a place of entanglement, as a place where one gets bound in material existence, as a andakupa, as a deep dark well, that same place for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is a place of liberation. It is a place of, it is non-different from the spiritual world. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to office, coming back from office, at that time there is Charana, he will see the Ganga, and he says, when I see the Ganga, I feel such a flow of ecstasy rushing through me. Sukha sa sima pa, sukha, there's no sima pa. Actually, there's no limit to the ecstasy that I experience when I see the Ganga. And then he says, Tulasi dekhi juraya prana, madhava toshani jani, kaura priya shaka sevane, jivana sarthak mani. Tulsi dekhi juraya prana. So when I see Tulsi, then I feel as if my life has come back. I feel enlivened. I feel as if I got a new spurt of life. Madhava toshani jani. Why? Because I know that this Tulsi is the satisfier of Lord Madhava. Is the satisfier of Madhav. And a devotee wants to satisfy the Lord always. That is the purpose and perfection of a devotee's life. And therefore, when a devotee sees someone else who is satisfying the Lord, the devotee feels ecstatic by that. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that just the sight of Madhava, sight of Tulsi, gives great joy to my heart. And here again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals just a fully devotional vision, not at all a utilitarian vision. Nowadays, we may talk about, in order to help people grasp why we adore Tulsi so much, you may talk about how Tulsi has medicinal value, and Tulsi gives such a good vibrations, and Tulsi removes the air pollution or whatever. Different devotees may talk about different things about Tulsi, which is okay for giving appreciation of Tulsi Devi to those who do not have any sense of appreciation for her. But beyond that, if we can just focus on for ourselves and for those who have some devotional sense, we should know that we appreciate Tulsi primarily because Tulsi is devoted to the Lord. And Madhava Toshini Jani, Madhava Toshini, that she is the satisfier of Madhava. And because she is a satisfier of Madhav, therefore, when we see her, we want. We remember, we get the inspiration that I too can one day live for pleasing Madhav. That I too can actually get the blessings of Tulsi, seek for her mercy, by which I too can eventually come to the level of becoming the satisfier of Madhav. I can live for the satisfaction of Madhav as Tulsi is living. And thinking like this brings a fresh lease of life to our life. And Gaura Priya Shak Sevane Jivana Sarthak Mani. So Gaura Priya Shak Sevane. Now, when you and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would love shak, and when and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and I hear and I taste the shak that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted, what does it mean? That the devotee becomes surcharged with remembrance of Krishna, and due to that ecstatic remembrance of Krishna, ecstatic remembrance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivan Sarthak Mani. One's life is considered successful. Life becomes surcharged. Life becomes energized with success. And then, I feel that as my life has become successful, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Bhakti Vinoda Krishna Bhajane Anukul Paya Pratidivase Parama Sukhe Svikara Karaye Taha. And in the last line of the song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the general principle. So he has given in this song the list of various devotional manifestations that enable us to relish devotional ecstasy. And he says that Bhaktivinoda Krishna Bhajane. So, after giving this list, this is an indicative list. It's not an exhaustive list. Krishna has so many manifestations, and more manifestations also come about by his unlimited mercy. So, he says, so whatever is favorable for the bhakti of Krishna, for the bhajan of Krishna, anukul pai jaha. So whatever is anukul, whatever is favorable, bhaktivino pratidivase parama sukhe. On each day with great joy, svikara karaye taha. I accept that with great joy, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So pratidivase parama sukhe. With great joy, I accept it. So this is actually the principle of anukulyasa sankalpa, which is one of the six items of Sharanagati. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is essentially saying that here, this is how I'll express my surrender to Krishna by accepting whatever is favorable for his devotion. So whatever is favorable, I'll accept. And he has given a list of the many things that are favorable and that he accepts very joyfully in his life. But after giving this list, he says that this is that apart from this, whatever is there that is favorable, and on each day, whenever it I encounter that in my life, I will accept it. And by accepting it, I will relish my bhakti and I will be joyful that I have got an opportunity to choose something which can nourish and expand my bhakti. This is the ecstatic disposition of the great Vaishnava Acharya. And we can learn from this that we all can actually be proactive, be dynamic, be responsible in accepting whatever is favorable for our bhakti. So, whatever infuses us with remembrance of Krishna, whatever makes us attracted to Krishna, whatever makes us remember Krishna, that we should know that it is favorable for my bhakti, so let me accept it. So, Bhakti Vinoda Paramas. This is Bhakti Vinodhi, he talks about himself and he says, Paramas, okay. With great joy, with supreme joy, I will accept whatever is favorable for my bhakti. And he gives a list, he's given a list to guide us to understand what are the things favorable for bhakti. And then he also points, says that
This is not a complete list, it is an indicative list. So we all can take the inspiration to make a list of whatever things are favorable for our bhakti, and we can also parama sukhe svikara karayeta, with great joy accept those things in our own lives and thus advance steadily on the path of bhakti. Thank you.